With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a Mary, the sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
All right, Greg. Besides the slurring and the stuttering and bumbling through the speech, how do you think it went?
Well, you want a low bar, okay? Right. I asked my buddy how Joe did because I was working at the time, and he said he was alert. And I thought, that's something you say about a person recuperating after a car accident in the hospital. Yes, he's alert, Dana. That's a very, very low bar. If you look at Afghanistan, you look at that drone strike, the border, you see a severely deflated presidency, and in record time. Joe Biden is the cheap air mattress of presidents. You fill it up, feels full, but by the time you get the sheet on it, it's flatter than his hair plugs. I mean, it's like you can't keep this guy going. It just comes in and just...
Leave it to Greg Gutfeld, who I enjoy greatly. I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but I certainly appreciate him and his place in the news media right now. Isn't that interesting that when someone said, oh, how do you think President Biden did, and that their response is that he's alert? Yeah, really, what are our standards for the president of the United States, the leader of the free world? Welcome into the Annie Fry Show. So glad to have you here. A reminder, if you're out for lunch right now and you're listening to us in your car at 97.1 FM, take us with you wherever you go by streaming us on the Odyssey app. You can watch the show on the Annie Fry Show Facebook page or the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Also streaming now, Annie Fry Show on Twitch. So when President Biden goes and delivers a speech yesterday to the UN, and as we covered with Jim Carafano yesterday, he went through a laundry list, as did I see Mark Thiessen on Fox News and many other pundits who reacted to President Biden's UN speech yesterday. He basically listed off a ton of things that the far leftist progressive movement in our country and really on a global scale wants to hear the president of the United States say, but he's got nothing to back it up. What the president is doing right now with his authority and his position, his administration is not doing the flowery things that he's saying that they're doing. And he's not putting them in a position. Of course, they're only 8 months into this thing, which is terrifying. He's not placing the United States in a position to actually make good on the checks that he's writing right now. Greg Gutfeld there talking about Afghanistan and the border. We're still facing COVID and, a pandemic in that we are working on getting people vaccinated, but their messaging on vaccinations is ridiculous. We had Dr. McCary on yesterday, and he was talking about natural immunity and the effects that natural immunity have on your ability to fight it off. He said it's 27 times. That's his statistic. 27 times more effective than the vaccine. Now, if you haven't had COVID, so you don't have natural immunity, Dr. McCary said he thinks the vaccine's a good thing and you should go get it. So it's not to say that if you have natural immunity that Dr. McCary, who is speaking to the benefits of natural immunity, is saying don't get the vaccine. He's just saying it's more complicated than everybody has to get the vaccine, which is the only lane that this administration and, of course, Dr. Fauci has been on basically for the duration of the time that we've had this vaccine, which really was implemented, what, in October? Because it became approved a couple of days after the election, right?
Yeah, it was like right after the election. As a matter of fact, I remember saying that was going to be my October surprise. They were going to announce a vaccine before the election. And I think that the CEO of Pfizer or one of those companies came out and said, we actually held off on announcing it because we didn't want it to be political. And I was like, well,
that's
making it political.
Yeah, for sure. It's the irony of ironies that this really is the capital T Trump vaccine. It was announced to the American people that it was going to be serviceable days after the election. And Biden gets to take credit for all of it. I mean, the we all know Kamala Harris saying at the vice presidential debate that if the doctors say you need to get this vaccine, then she'll take it. But if Trump says to take it, she's not going to take it. She's the OG politicization of this vaccine. And then to push aside any type of treatment, any type of credit towards natural immunity, anything that might help an individual battle COVID, stay away from COVID. We can't even talk about those things in a world where the message isn't only get the vaccine. That's the way that the messaging has been, and it's just created an immense amount of doubt. And they got to know that. They got to be aware of this, that they're the ones who are creating all of this doubt. But yet here we are. So my question to you, and I want to take phone calls on this today. My question to you is, what story are you following the most closely right now? Because there's kind of a merry-go-round of really impactful and consequential news taking place in this moment with this administration. The president being, at the UN assembly, and the Afghanistan story still. If there weren't all of these other things, this would still be a very big story. It just seems like it kind of comes around in a circle. COVID still being a thing, variants being a thing, vaccination being a thing, mandates being a thing. I mean, you could bottle that all up and it's just like a nice little punch of one big story with a whole bunch of different very, very important angles that we need to talk about. And then you've got the border crisis, where if you look at what's going on in the border right now and you see the influx of people who are coming here and the stories are now out that these Haitians that are coming here, they're getting freed into the country. They're not going back to Haiti. They're not going back to Mexico. We're freeing them in the country. I think it was Jim Carafano yesterday. Didn't he say tens of millions of people that this could eventually put into our country? And once they're here, then we start talking about things like DACA, things that if they came here when they were a child and it wasn't their fault that they were here and this is all that they've ever known, we're creating a whole new community of those people. And I'm saying that as somebody who, when Trump was trying to weigh in on this immigration thing, I think maybe it was in year two of his administration, he was trying to get a bill together that had some bipartisan support, initially at least. He was going to expand the net that DACA would include. I want to say off the top of my head, it was like 850,000 people, but I'm not 100% sure on that. He was extending the DACA idea that there are people here who, yes, now they're in their 30s, but they came here with their parents or whatever. There was a level of mercy and grace that he was extending to these individuals that the Republican Party at the time wouldn't accept, but he was doing it under the guise of, we have to stop the problem. You can't save the patient if you don't stop the bleeding. And on our southern border right now, we're hemorrhaging. And when you look at how government right now wants to police who goes in and out of a bar, and what you wear when you're in a restaurant and how close you stand next to somebody at a concert and the papers and the documentation that you might have to show in order to take in a sporting event or some other type of, you know, artistic event, a play, a show of some kind. You, a law-abiding citizen who does have the choice to take the vaccine or not to take the vaccine, for whatever reasons you make your choice, you still have a choice. There's just consequences to whichever choice you make. If you don't want to get the vaccine, but you get it because somebody is suggesting that you have to or you're going to lose your job, there's a consequence to taking it. There's a consequence to not taking it. And we all have to make these decisions for ourselves. But you are faced with all of these mandates, these regulations, these requirements. And you're not permitted to freely move about the country right now based on what your local leadership or your state leadership or your federal leadership is telling you you have to do in order to continue to keep your job, in order to continue to keep your livelihood. There are things that are being put in front of you, obstacles to make sure that you are compliant. And then you look at the southern border, and those things don't exist. And they're not doing anything to stop it from getting worse. How many different crises can this administration handle at one time? How many things can they put Kamala Harris in charge of that she's never going to speak on? Listen to Joe Biden when he's asked about the border.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to the images from the southern border?
Get under control.
Get it under control or you have it under control?
We will get it under control.
So if you're saying we're going to get it under control, you have to be acknowledging that it's not under control, right?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying. That's him admitting that this is out of control.
And we something will. Needs to take place.
Right.
And that he is saying that they're going to do it.
And I know I keep saying this, but it'd be a shame, like, if only we knew somebody that was appointed to do this job. If only there was somebody who Biden said, this person's going to be my point person on the border.
Every day that goes by that Biden, as he just did there, admits that it's not under control, every single day that passes, that it continues to not be under control, what's at stake? I saw a photograph, I feel like it was this weekend maybe, maybe it was last week, I don't know, it doesn't matter, of two children who were abandoned on the United States side of the border, and one of them I think was 5 and one of them was 3 months.
I think I saw that picture too.
And they're sitting in the grass, like next to a tree. It might have been 3 and 3 months old or something.
Yeah, it was like in the reeds in the bank.
Just sitting there. Those are my kids. And I know what children of that age require in order to be safe. That's on Joe Biden. You know, this is a problem that has been happening administration after administration after administration. Donald Trump drastically reduced the amount of people who were flooding the southern border. He just did. Did he fix the problem? No, because when anything goes into Washington, D.C. to get fixed, it doesn't happen. Nothing ever gets fixed. The existence of these problems in and of themselves create a scenario where government needs to get elected again so they can make promises that they'll make good on at some point in the future, but they never actually have to get there. This was a problem in the Obama administration. This was a problem in the Bush administration. This has been a problem. But what have we seen the Biden administration do on the southern border since they have taken charge to make anything better? And what have we seen them do that has made it infinitely worse? My question to you is the border the biggest thing for you right now? Is Afghanistan, what we did there, how we left there, who we killed there, and what happens next? The Taliban now being empowered more than they've ever been before because of the way we left? I mean, we heard this weekend, too, that, or maybe it was the end of last week as well, Joe Biden was told by his own advisors, we need to keep at least air support here. We need 2,500 troops to still be accessible here to keep this region stabilized, to keep the Taliban in check. And he said, no, get him out of there. And then when he was asked by, was it George Stephanopoulos, I believe, asked him, did your advisors ask you to keep people there or to not pull out like this? He said, no, that's a lie. It's a lie. If you say anything bad right now on Twitter about Joe Biden, a troll will crawl out from under their rock to talk to you about how Trump lies all the time. There is a delusion that exists there that should be medicated. What's the biggest issue right now for you? I'd love to hear from you. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. Give us a call. Let our call screener know your name and which issue is impacting you the most right now. And we'll take some calls when we come back. We're going to speak with the Attorney General, Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. We had him on last week, but we're going to talk to him again because he continues to fight back against these overreaching, tyrannical mandates that keep coming out of government, big government. He's going to talk about his victories there and some other things that he is working hard on. We're going to talk to him at 1 o'clock, and we're going to talk to Adam Schuster with Illinois Policy Institute at 1245. But I'd love to talk to you up next. 314-241-9797. Let us know what the biggest issue that you think is facing the country or you personally right now. And if you don't want to call in, you can comment on the Annie Fry Show Facebook Live, the Annie Fry YouTube channel, the Annie Fry Show Twitch channel. We'll be right back with your phone calls in just a minute. Don't go away. Turn your head now, baby, just...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
I wasn't expecting, but who am I to tell Faye where it's supposed to go with it?
In St. Louis County, after we beat them over and over and over in court on this forced masking requirement that the county executive now is talking about another mask mandate on anticipated numbers. So the idea that a county executive can mask a million people because he anticipates numbers are going to rise is insane. And people have had enough of this stuff. And I'm going to fight back. These are petty tyrants seeking to aggregate more power. They're never going to let it go. They don't want to let it go. And so it's my job to fight back.
That's the Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt talking about the mask mandates, which he has been pushing back against aggressively here in the state of Missouri. And, you know, this is something that is really frustrating people. I'm seeing comments online that they're worried that we're going to turn into Australia. Some of the things that you're seeing come out of Australia are shocking. A lot of people concerned about Afghanistan and what we did there, how we left there and how we left it to go into the future. A lot of people concerned about the southern border, and we're going to talk to you about that. Keep your comments coming on the Facebook Live, the Annie Fry Show Facebook Live, and the Annie Fry YouTube channel, but I'm also going to take some phone calls here, and we'll get to your phone call, 314-241-9797, if you want to join us. Let's start with Sean. Hey, Sean, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Hey, Annie, how you doing?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
Doing great. Love your show. Thank you for having me on. I guess that's a hard choice, but we'll start with the border crisis I think that's the most upsetting for me right now is I can't imagine how frustrated these governors and mayors of these border towns are. I think their hands are tied. They feel like they've been left behind. And for Kamala Harris to come out of nowhere, come out of hiding, and bash on how they're handling this situation, to me, it's like setting your own house on fire and then suing the fire department because all your stuff's wet. It's just an absurd take on what's going on. And the fact that she was named border czar is just so concerning because she's done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely nothing. You're right. Sean, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. When she was put in charge, do you remember she was sitting next to Joe Biden at that table? They were talking about something else. I don't think the issue was about the border. And I think they took some questions and Joe Biden kind of looked at her and was like, in fact, we're going to be putting Vice President Harris in charge of this. And it almost was like she was surprised by it. I'm sure that that's not the case, but it just seems so haphazard the way it was presented to the American people. And she's done nothing. She went to that summit of those three countries in South America or Central America or wherever it was, and she basically said, don't come. She told them, don't come.
Right.
Well?
That was it.
And? Yeah, give me a break. Like, there's zero accountability here. And this is something that is going to have a generational effect on the country. Let's go to John's call here. John, thanks for calling.
Hey, Annie. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. What's on your mind the most?
You know, the thing about Afghanistan, you know, to leave those people, I mean, we still have people over there. You know, we do. You know, and then to leave the equipment, you know, I mean, he it's like he's given everything away. You know, there's got to be something with China. You know, I mean, they really need to look deeper into this. Hmm. You know, it's just, I can't understand why, you know, you would do that, you know, leave all that equipment, all that, you know, just to keep a small force like they were saying. You know, that would have been the best thing in the world. You know, we did that in Germany. We did that in Korea. You know, we did it in Japan.
Yeah, we have a presence in a lot of places still. It's
right.
Not uncommon for us to have a military presence. And also, you know, if it's a geopolitical location that is good to be in anyway, that American presence means something. It says something just by virtue of being there. And it seems to me that the goal, there's one goal for Joe Biden, and it was to be able to go to places like the UN and say, we're not there anymore. We're done with that. I took care of that. And it's like, I don't know that this is really where you want to be taking credit.
Right. And, you know, if we would have left those troops there, you know, just a small contingency, you know, the girls would still be going to school.
Yeah.
You know, think of all the things that the Afghanis would still have.
Yeah. John, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. And I'm glad you could call in here because I hear you and I understand that and I agree with it. I believe it was Jim Carafano said on the show, like, when does the military leave first? Since when does the United States military bounce before we get everybody else out? And from a relationship standpoint with other countries, European countries, our allies, not cooperating with them or taking their phone calls while this is taking place so that they can get their people out. What are we doing? It seems ridiculous. Greg, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What's your biggest concern these days?
My biggest concern, well, first of all, congratulations on your baby.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I know it's a blessing. My biggest concern is the border. My dad came from Germany in 1958, and he had to do everything correctly to stay in his country. But now Biden just says, come on in. And I know you'll be talking to the Missouri Attorney General in a little while.
Yep.
Is Missouri going to do anything like Texas did where they're going to arrest them for trespassing? Since the federal government won't do nothing, the states can actually arrest the people. And they actually, if the people are criminals or have criminal records, they can actually hold them longer like Texas is doing. Because I haven't heard of no other state really taking other steps where they can actually incarcerate them under state laws versus federal laws.
I'll ask Eric Schmidt how he intends to, you know, do his job here in the wake of these people being relocated into the country, because they're going to be put all over the place. There are so many of them. And under what circumstances are we documenting these individuals? Are we tracing these individuals? Are they supposed to show up for a court case at some point? What's the process here? It doesn't seem like there is one. And Joe Biden was at the beach this weekend. He was MIA. He's abdicating his duties as the president of the United States, and the rest of the states are having to fend for themselves in ways that are, it's pretty alarming. And when you compare it to, as we have a tendency to do, when you compare it to the minuscule things that the Trump administration was criticized for on a regular basis, it'll drive you mad a little bit. Jared on our Facebook page says, I'm mostly ticked off about the media protection of a Democrat administration and soft jabs from the media when they disagree with his policies. Yeah, when it's so disagreeable and so heinous that you have to see people on CNN and MSNBC, you know, soft tossing some criticism the administration's way, you know it's bad when they can't avoid it any longer. Lynn, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think?
Hi. Well, to answer your question, I think it's all the biggest problem. I think that we are losing our freedoms. The Constitution is being trampled. Where is our representative government? I feel helpless. I don't think there's anyone or relatively few people in Washington that are actually looking out for us. Where is that? I feel like what's going on is intentional. And it's so that the current administration can remain in power. We will be a country with the elite and the working poor. And that's where we're going to end up. Mm.
Lynn, thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. When I hear her say it feels hopeless, I get that. I see that, too, especially when I took those 3 months off to be with my newborn baby and I was dipping my toe into news here and there, but not as much as I am, of course, now. It's so bleak and it's so disconcerting that you want to turn it off, but you can't really get away from it these days because COVID still rears its ugly head every time you turn around. If you wear a mask, people yell at you. If you don't wear a mask, people yell at you. Did you get the vaccine? If you want to go and join the rest of the world right now, in many cases, you have to show proof that you had a vaccine, and people hate doing that. Now, if you want to keep your job, in many cases, you have to get the vaccine. I know people who have gotten the vaccine who don't want to tell people they've gotten the vaccine because there's so much stigma to doing it one way or the other. You can't win for trying right now. And that becomes very weighty on the American people as a whole. Let's get to Rocky's phone call here. Rocky, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Hi, Annie. Longtime listener, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling, Rocky. Good to talk to you.
I always wanted to say that. I listen to every day at noon. My really biggest concern right now is the economy. I'm within a year of retirement, both me and my wife. And the way things are going, unfortunately, everything affects our economy, and it's kind of scary right now because we just want to live the rest of our life comfortably, and maybe travel some. But with everything that's going on, and Biden just giving everything away, it makes no mm-hmm. sense to me, none whatsoever. And I'm pretty common sense kind of a guy,
yeah.
So there's no common sense in any of this.
You're absolutely right that the economy does kind of consume under the all of this affects the economy. And being a couple years from retirement yourself, you've probably worked pretty hard to secure your retirement for you, and to have it be so shaky right now and everything is costing more now. You go into retirement and you set up a fixed income for yourself and inflation hits right now and you don't really have any indication that they're going to slow down spending in Washington, D.C., or that anything is going to get cheaper, that the labor market is going to recover, that breeds a lot of questions for a lot of people. And I could see how that, given your circumstances, would certainly be the case for you guys.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern. And like I said, but everything else, I'm stuck to the news all the time anymore. Just see what's happening.
Yeah.
But gosh, the world hiccups and it affects our economy in some way, shape, or form. So,
yeah. Rocky, thank you for the phone call and thanks for listening. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank you, Annie.
Mm-hmm. Talk to you again soon. Let's get to David's phone call here before we get to a break. David, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
My biggest concern is not if, but when and where is the next terrorist attack going to happen on our soil because of what the pullout we did in Afghanistan and how it was done. We not only armed the Taliban, but also armed Iran, China, and everybody else with our weaponized weapons. And open border, who knows how many have already crossed into this country.
Mm. Yeah, you know, David, that's a great point as well. What we did in Afghanistan and empowering the Taliban and weaponizing them in a real sense is very disconcerting. And you hear experts, people who know what's going on over there. And I've talked to people in my personal life who have served in Afghanistan and know the terrain and know the people over there. And they have that same concern. What happens next? Holly on YouTube says, my concern is the us versus them mentality. If you write off a group because they don't agree with you, that leads to dehumanization. And if you don't see a group of people as human, it doesn't end well. Holly, I think that's a great point, too. And we've seen that so much just in the discourse of Trump's administration leading into now, that there is an approved way to think about anything. Everything has a right side and certainly the converse of the wrong side. And there's a bully group, a bully pulpit of individuals who collectively have microphones and cameras and speakers and political power who they dwell. Their power comes from that us versus them mentality, which I will always advocate that we push back on. Let's take a quick break. We're going to talk to Adam Schusters, the Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at Illinois Policy. When we come back, your tax dollars in the state of Illinois that are going to fund education, they're probably in large part going to fund pensions. How does that make you feel? And Eric Schmidt, Missouri's Attorney General, at 1 o'clock as well. Stick around. More Annie Fry Show around the corner.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show. This is The Annie Fry Show. Find the podcast, on-demand audio, and more at 971talk.com/Annie.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday afternoon with us. We certainly appreciate that. You know, Brad and Trisha, you hear the passion in these phone calls when people call in. And we ask people to call in and say, what, there are so many stories right now, none of them particularly positive. Trisha, right now, what's the biggest thing that you're kind of keeping your eye on just because you're like, this is big, this is a big deal?
I don't know. It's different personally and existentially, I guess, because the border crisis, Afghanistan, the world, the bleakness of it all. But I went to my local gas station yesterday to fill up my car, and mm-hmm. the exact same car that cost me one price less than a year ago cost me a full $12 more.
Yeah. Like every time you fill up.
Every time. I can't afford that. Like, that's not sustainable for my life. So I'm kind of worried about that. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about how much it costs to get from point A to point B on this like micro level. So honestly, I'd have to say the economy and inflation right now for me.
Yeah. Trisha, I think that's a really, really good point. And it segues nicely into our guest here, Adam Schuster, who's the Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at Illinois Policy Institute. When we're talking about tax dollars, Adam, and welcome back to the show. It's good to talk to you again. When we're talking
about
our tax dollars here and making the money that isn't going to tax dollars stretch as far as we can, the state of Illinois repeatedly doesn't really seem to be giving the Illinois taxpayer back what they're promising for their tax dollar. And you've got highlighted here the money that we're sending to education right now, and we pay a lot of taxes that go towards public education in the state of Illinois. Where's all that money going? Is it going to the books, the textbooks and the desks and all that stuff for kids sitting in the classroom?
Unfortunately, far too little of it actually makes it to that point. So what this new research or report is highlighting is that a larger and larger bite of the apple is increasingly being eaten up by our pension contributions before the money can actually be spent on education. So a lot of the money is going to TRS pensions, which I should mention are not just teachers who tend to have more modest pensions, but also, you know, a lot of the excessive six-figure administrators in those teacher pension systems who typically have some of the biggest pensions. So overall, about 40% of the total amount of money we spend on education gets eaten up by pensions before it makes it to classrooms.
It's so crazy to see every time we have, you know, an opportunity to see what the legislature is going to do with a budget or whatever. Taxes always go up. It doesn't solve the problem. Adam, I've been talking with you. I've been talking with Illinois Policy Institute since 2016 when I did this show on Saturdays about the pension crisis. Nothing has changed. It's gotten worse, I guess, over the course of time. And it's eating up. It's sucking up more air out of the room to the point where how are we going to fund education in these actual students? Are we just going to have teachers and the other high-dollar valued people in these pension funds? Is that where all of our money is going to go? What happens next?
I mean, that's the direction we're heading. So, you know, I've joked in the past, and it's kind of a dark joke, that, you know, Illinois is increasingly becoming, as a state, a pension system with a small social service agency attached. And what I mean by that is the primary thing that we're funding is pensions. It's the largest line item in our budget. It's more than a quarter of the money we send to Springfield every single year goes to this. You know, I mentioned that 40% of the education dollars are eaten up by pensions this year. Just a decade ago, it was about 20%, and a decade before that, it was about 12%. So this rapid growth is really something we can't keep up with. And if we want to be able to make investments in, you know, job training programs, higher education, K-12 education, we're not going to be able to do it as long as, you know, so much of the pie is getting eaten up by this pension monster. And the really frustrating thing is the only thing standing in the way of a solution is political will. It's our politicians who just aren't taking the problem seriously and aren't willing to be honest with people about what the available solutions are out there, because they're captured by special interest lobbyists, mainly, you know, the power of government unions. But other states have faced similar problems to what we're facing in Illinois, including blue states, and they've come up with a way to negotiate changes to pension benefits that are reasonable and leave workers with very secure and generous retirements, but are also sustainable and affordable for taxpayers.
We're speaking with Adam Schuster, the Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at Illinois Policy Institute. Let me ask you this. These education funds that are going in large part to fund the pension system that we have in this state, we just heard Tricia talking about paying an extra $12 per fill up at the pump. We've had our gas tax doubled a couple years ago. So we're paying increased taxes at the gas tank. We're paying, increased taxes in many cases at our local grocery stores. There are TIF taxes that go on. We're paying gigantic property taxes. We pay the income taxes. Where do the tax dollars that go to fund education and go to fund these pensions, which pot of all of those tax dollars are we pulling the pension money from?
So that money comes from general funds, the state general funds. So it's mostly going to be funded by three sources. It's income taxes, state sales taxes, and corporate income taxes. Those are the three biggest revenue sources and sort of the largest taxes that go to the state budget. So most of this money is coming directly out of your income and sales tax burden.
So if it's coming out of the income, if it's coming about what we make and it's coming out of what we actually spend, how we choose to use the money that we're earning, if the pension situation in the state of Illinois were to be remedied, Illinois Policy has had a plan on that for quite some time. If the situation were to be remedied, and I always remind people, teachers and administrators, they're taxpayers too. So when the taxes go up to fund these things, it goes up on the people that are also having to pay themselves in a circle there. Everybody's expenses go up there. How much relief goes to the taxpayer if we actually address this problem as it is facing us?
So the plan that we've developed would take about 5 years to get to tax relief. And it's just because the debt burdens are so big that first we need to balance our budget. Then we need to pay off this backlog of bills that we've accumulated from all those years of unbalanced budgets. But once we've done that, so after about four years into the plan, we could finance an income tax cut back down to about 3.75%. So back down to about where it was before the 2017 income tax hike that increased people's taxes by about 33% mm-hmm. on average. So you can see a one-third drop in your income tax bill after about 4 years if we just did pension reform. But not only that, it's great to be able to pay less. It's good for our economy to leave more of people's money in their own pockets to spend it as they wish rather than how a politician wishes down in Springfield. But also, it would give us more confidence that the money we are spending is actually going to services. Because the reason Illinois has this huge out-migration program, the reason people are fleeing to other states isn't just the high taxes, that's a big part of the story, but it's also that people aren't getting value for the tax dollars they do send. So if people feel like, you know, they're paying higher taxes or they're paying taxes, but they're getting something back for it, they're much more willing to put roots down in that community.
Simple question, yes or no, because I only have like 30 seconds left here. Sure. Does the Illinois policy plan take money away from people who are earning pensions right now?
No, everybody keeps everything that they've earned. Every retiree keeps the current check that they're getting. It only changes how fast it grows going forward. And for workers hired after 2011, it would actually improve their COLA while paying for it with other structural changes.
I think that's such an important point to add on to that. Thank you, Adam. So great to have you here today. And I'm going to encourage people to check out Illinois Policy on social media and online to learn more about this, because you've got a solution to a huge problem and more people need to pay attention to it. Adam, great to talk to you.
Thanks a lot.
Yep, we'll talk to you again soon. Senior Director of Budget and Tax Research at Illinois Policy. Check them out on Facebook. And also, if you haven't yet, consider joining the Facebook group, The Lincoln Lobby. There's a lot of activism that goes on there. There's a lot of awareness that is put into that group, and it's managed by the Illinois Policy Institute. And when you go apply, you have to apply. Like, when you say you want to join and you say that you heard about them on the Annie Fry Show, they fast-track you to the front of the line, which is kind of cool. Just drop my name. It's like the only place it works, the Lincoln Lobby. We'll be back with Eric Schmidt in just a minute. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.